Christ Center Communication Message. I'm Vanessa Dunn-Hagarmo, a communications evangelist.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Crest in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
With the New York Times in one hand and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the other, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence.
A good Catholic is a faithful citizen.
Make America great again!
What's more important here is not saving the country, it's saving your soul.
It's a bold strategy. Let's see if it pays off for us.
Trust in the media has hit its lowest point.
I want the truth!
What is truth?
The age of the passive layperson can't go on.
It's our job to share that love of Christ with these people.
This is an excellent mission, sir, with an extremely valuable objective.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
Al, this is an excellent program.
You have a wonderful show.
I love listening in my car.
That's a great question to start off with.
You are in for a show tonight.
Here we go again.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta, thanking you for being here. This hour, we're going to focus in on a problem that has been presenting itself. Well, really, if you go back to the book of Judges, you have this problem. You go back to Adam and Eve and you have this problem. And that is, how do you pass the faith on to the next generation? And what do you do if you have a problem? I mean, what do you do to remedy children, to help children who have left the faith? How do you clear up misconceptions? What can you do? We're going to talk that over with Gary Machuda this hour. Gary is a Catholic apologist that you've heard often on Catholic Answers and other Catholic radio, including Crest in the Afternoon. Gary's the author of several books on apologetics. Why Catholic Bibles are bigger is simply just one of them. But he, a few years ago, decided he would kind of take his apologetics background and what he's learned doing apologetics and evangelization over many years and write a book for parents like himself who are raising children and who want to make sure the faith is passed along and want to, at least at the most basic level, help parents keep their children from drifting away. So he's written a book with the clever title, How to Wolfproof Your Kids. And it asks questions, how can you tell if your child is thinking about leaving the faith? It answers questions like, how can you restart spiritual conversations with kids who have abandoned the faith altogether? So Gary will be joining us to discuss this. And I want, again, to say this is really the passing the faith along to the next generation is one of the most important tasks that we have as leaders of the domestic church, right? That's a great phrase because our homes are what we call the domestic church. The parishes are built upon the strength of Catholic families. Now, we all know you can be an outstanding Catholic parent and still have children who rebel, who reject, who drift away from the faith. So we have to get away from this sense of shame that we might have if children haven't continued on in the faith. And we just need to recognize this is a common problem. Let me tell you, 50% of those who have been raised Catholic leave the faith under the age of 30. Yeah. And if you take a look at the nation, Catholics are the largest religious demographic in this nation. Former Catholics are the second largest religious demographic. The fact of the new evangelization is John Paul II's way of admitting there's been huge failure at evangelizing. I mean, what's the new evangelization about? It's fundamentally about evangelizing the baptized. It's a recognition that we've sacramentalized people without evangelizing people. And so we shouldn't pretend that we don't have a crisis on our hands. And my comments with Gary today will help, I hope, give us some encouragement how to go forward in this area. But first, what we're going to do is get today's headlines.
Thank you very much. I'll welcome everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Monday, July 10th. It is the feast of St. Veronica Giuliani, and today's news is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Family of Funds at AveMariaFunds.com. Iraqis are back in control of Mosul after finally driving out ISIS. Mosul was the latest major Iraqi city that was under the control of the terrorist group. Iraqi security forces were assisted by the U.S.-led coalition that is battling ISIS. ISIS took control of Mosul 3 years ago. The bloody battle to retake the northern city started last October. Iran is sentencing four more Christians. World Watch Monitor reports that the men are being sentenced for missionary activities and actions against national security. It is the second time in a week that Iran has sentenced Christians for illegal activities involving the church. Last week, three Iranian Christians were sentenced to 10 years for what they call illegal home church activities and actions against national security. Three of the four in the latest sentencing are from Azerbaijan and had already left the country. However, one is an Iranian Christian who will have to serve his sentence unless his appeal is successful. Leaders of the main political parties in the European Parliament say they will reject a Brexit agreement if the current offer on citizens' rights isn't improved, Jack Perrick reports.
MEPs say the offer is too vague and oppose the plan for settled status applications to be done separately and not in family units. The warning letter was supported by 77% of the European Parliament. Members added they will not grant an extension for Brexit talks past the March 2019 deadline, and the Parliament is able to veto any final Brexit deal that is agreed. Jack Parrock, Brussels.
A New York State policeman is dead after responding to a domestic dispute in upstate New York, Sarah Lee Kessler reports.
Trooper Joel Davis, a four-year veteran, gunned down Sunday night while approaching a house in Teresa, a rural community in Jefferson County. The suspected shooter, Justin Walters, is a U.S. Army soldier at Fort Drum. He surrendered, and that's when police found his wife, Nicole, dead, and another woman shot. Minor injuries. Governor Cuomo says the entire New York family grieves for Trooper Davis, who leaves a wife and three kids. Sarah Lee Kessler, NBC News Radio, New York.
And now your fascinating fact of the day. The steam rising from a cup of coffee contains the same amount of antioxidants as three oranges. Reporting for Ave Maria Radio News, I'm Nick Tom.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. One of the most disturbing and moving conversations I have, especially when I'm on the road, is hearing from moms and dads and grandparents about adult children who have abandoned the church. Some of them simply drift away. Others of them claim they have found Jesus outside the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church. Others of them have become anti-Catholic, in fact. How can you tell if your child is thinking about leaving the faith? How can you act to strengthen your child's faith? What kind of conversations can you have? Also, what kind of conversations can you have with kids who have abandoned their faith altogether? Well, to help us out on this, I've asked my friend Gary Mashuda. Gary's the author of several books. Outstanding books in the field of apologetics, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger. And today we're going to take a look at how to wolf-proof your kids. He's a frequent guest on Catholic Radio and the creator of a hands-on apologetics website. You can follow him at Gary Mashuta, MICHUTA.com, or handsonapologetics.com. Good to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to see you too.
Yeah. I remember when you wrote this, and it is such a a valuable book. The need is great. Parents looking forward or looking backward, they're concerned about this very topic. Why wolf proof? What the metaphor of wolf?
There? Well, you know, I'm playing off the idea of sheep stealing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and our Lord warned us about wolves that dress up in sheep's clothing that will steal from the flock. So that's how I came up with this wolf proof project. And actually, the motivation is basically the same thing you said: giving talks and seminars and having parents coming up afterwards and hearing horror story after horror story.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, it's once people leave the faith, it's so hard to bring them back.
That's true.
And so I thought, you know, maybe we should do some front-end apologetics.
That's right.
And kind of instill certain ideas in the kids so that it's harder for people to sheep steal.
What are some of the tactics, the steps, the stratagems of the sheep stealers?
Ah, that's a good question. You know, there's so many different groups out there, but they all have essentially the same strategy. First, you know, they don't throw out wide nets. That's a misconception. They target people. There are certain groups that are more fruitful for sheep stealing than other groups.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, they look for people whose social net is strained, where they don't have close connections with neighbors and family. Homebound, single parents, perhaps somebody who's recently widowed or divorced, and especially college campuses, because once the kids go off to campus, they don't have their usual friends and family members
right.
to rely on. So that's a very fruitful area for sheep stealing.
It's also, in terms of maturation, it's a time when young people are individuating, they're distancing themselves from their family, trying to discover who they are in and of themselves. And so a lot of times one of the ways of asserting their new identity or distinct identity is to move in the direction of a different religion.
Yes.
Or abandon entirely. So they target, they actually do target people. They build relationships with the recruit. What kind of social events are built up to help invite new recruits?
Yeah, well, part of the building relationship idea is that they start taking notes about, well, what does this person like? What do they not like? What are they searching for? Is there an area that we could exploit? And then, for example, say a person likes music or acoustic guitar. If there's an event coming up that's a group-sponsored event that involves music or acoustic guitars, they're going to try to invite that person there because they know it's an area of interest. Or perhaps your interest in science. They'll say, well, our group is going to have a lecture on creation and science.
Yeah.
You'd really be interested.
Yeah.
And of course, they're ready and waiting for them at the organized, you know, once they come to that group.
Sure.
They're ready to start socially manipulating them, too.
Some of these groups are more self-conscious about targeting Catholics than others, I would assume. Some of them are just out there sharing what they understand to be the gospel. But there are entire mega churches that were created because senior pastor and their elder board or deacon board decided that they would go after discontented Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
They've built entire mega churches that way. And, of course, former Catholics constitute the second largest religious demographic in America.
Sure.
Largest one is Catholics, second largest former Catholics. I think Southern Baptists come up after that. What do you suggest to parents so that they don't find themselves in this situation? What can they do to begin to help strengthen the tie between Christ, the Church, and their child?
Okay. Well, you know, a lot of this comes from just experience with dealing with anti-Catholics, because it's very obvious that there are certain deficiencies that they've had back when they were in the church that led to where they are. For example, catechesis, apologetics, and evangelism. And invariably, whenever I give a talk about how to wolf-proof your kids, I ask for a show of hands. How many people here have been catechized? And almost everybody raises their hand. And I say, how many people here studied apologetics in high school or grade school? Maybe one or two people would raise their hand. And then I say, how many people were evangelized in high school or grade school? And generally there's no hands or maybe one. And that's really there. You need all three. You need catechesis, apologetics, and evangelism. And each one reinforces the other. Catechetics explains what we know as Catholics. Apologetics explains why we know what we know. And evangelism introduces us to whom we know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if one of those three is missing, then the other two are weakened.
Yeah. Very good. There's like a three-legged stool there.
Yeah.
You're a cradle Catholic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe you can explain for those who don't understand why this is the case. How is it that so many Catholics in America have been sacramentalized but not evangelized? They've been catechized but not evangelized. Why? How did that happen?
That's a difficult question to answer because I think around the turn of the last century, there was a kind of clericalism. People had large families, and they left it to the priests or the nuns to do all three of those things, evangelize, catechize, and teach apologetics. And it was kind of, I think there was a separation that there's really no burden on the family to pass on the faith because that's something Father will take care of in CCD or, you know, some religious program.
That was certainly the case in my family. I mean, we went to Mass every week. We went through the sacraments. We were sent off to catechism on Saturday mornings. And I honestly don't recall any single, let alone sustained, conversation about doctrinal, apologetic, liturgical matters.
Yeah,
with my mom and dad, and certainly with my brothers and sisters, it's always puzzled me that it would be that way.
Yeah,
partially because if it wasn't worth discussing, it probably wasn't worth passing along, and yet they did pass it along. So I'm not sure how they still to this day. I've asked them; they've never given me a good answer for why that was the case, but. They grew up, my mom and dad grew up at a time in which generally people didn't talk about religion. It was considered a private matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of funny. But that has created a situation in which there's been a reluctance, I think, to challenge people with the claims of Christ. We're going to continue conversation with Gary Mashuda, How to Wolf-Proof Your Kids. It's a practical guide for keeping your kids Catholic. And, again, this is one of the most painful areas for parents to consider, and what we'd like to do here is help avoid some of these problems in the future.
When you're looking for care for a loved one and you want them to remain independent and living at home, Visiting Angels is ready to serve. Visiting Angels franchises provide the compassionate, professional caregivers needed to deliver the best home care available. You may select your caregiver before service begins. Services include bathing, dressing, errands, light housekeeping, meal preparation, and more, up to 24 hours each day. With over 500 franchised offices nationwide, Visiting Angels is America's choice in senior home care. Employment opportunities and caregiving for Visiting Angels are available. You'll receive the support needed to fulfill your goal of achieving a caring career. Franchise opportunities are also available. Call today at 877-374-LIVE. Or visit us online at visitingangels.com. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part by a contribution made to celebrate the 50th birthday of Brian Hayes. We thank God for him being a wonderful husband and father. We love you, Jeanette, Ethan, Daniel, Lily, Joel, and Cecilia.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical. And in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
The National Museum of African American History and Culture recently opened in Washington, D.C. Unfortunately, the museum has been politicized from the very beginning, and this was on full display when armed security officers ordered our clients, an African American pastor and an African American woman, off of the public sidewalk outside of the museum because they were displaying signs that are part of a project to illustrate the devastating effects abortion is having on the black community. According to the Centers for Disease Control, although African American women account for only 11% of the female population, they are the victims of 36% of all abortions. By 2009, 16 million black children had been aborted. By 2014, 18 million African-American babies had been aborted. The museum is silent about this black genocide. Instead, it celebrates the radically pro-abortion Black Lives Matter movement, and it celebrates the tenure of pro-abortion Justice Thurgood Marshall. Meanwhile, Justice Clarence Thomas, a humanely pro-life African-American currently serving on the High Court, is defiantly denied any mention. If the museum curators won't tell the story about the impact of abortion on the black community inside the museum, our clients will tell it outside. We are challenging the museum's violation of our clients' free speech rights in federal court in Washington, D.C. I'm Robert Hughes, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. With me, apologist Gary Mashuda, author of a number of works in the field of apologetics. We are looking, though, a little bit different, although it's related to apologetics. This is targeted to parents. How to wolf-proof your kids. In other words, how to keep your sheep from being stolen by non-Catholic groups, some of whom actually do target Catholics. It's a practical guide for keeping your kids Catholic. We're talking about sheep stealing in the last segment. And I guess what kind of program can most parents that I've met whose children have wandered from the faith are very concerned. They're committed people. They thought they were doing what was right. You got it correct, I think. Many of them thought of the priests and the nuns and sisters as kind of the religious professionals who would take care of that kind of thing. And they figured, if I just stay faithful, we go to Mass, everything's fine. What do parents have to do today to ensure, now that this call has been issued and people are aware that Catholics, we've lost 50% of Catholics under the age of 30. I saw this the other day. And we know that the second largest religious demographic in America are former Catholics. The very fact of the new evangelization, John Paul II always talked about it in very positive ways. But the truth of the matter is, and he knew this, that was an extraordinary admission of failure. You don't have to, you should not have to evangelize the baptized.
Right.
That something went wrong, and he knew it. And so the new evangelization is itself an honest admission on the part of the church that it failed to do the work of evangelization for a significant percentage of its membership. So this is a different day. This is a day where people say, okay, that's past. How do we do it differently in the future? What do you suggest?
Well, the first thing I suggest is to take the faith beyond devotion. And this is an area we can steal from the wolves out there. That is that in addition to doing all the things that you normally do, have your kids involved with, let's say, social action groups, such as take them to a crisis pregnancy center and help volunteer over there, or go to a soup kitchen and get them involved with the faith so that they can see the good fruits that come from it. They also get involved in the process, and they can see it at work. That way, when sheep stealers come and try to paint the church as uncaring, unloving, right, whatever, they could say, no, my experience is completely different.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. What else?
Well, another thing is invest in your faith. When I give these talks, I always say that the two things that kept me in the church was my mom's consistent prayer of devotion to Our Lady of Perpetual Help and my dad falling asleep at church. Those two things.
You got to give. You got to do me some work on this.
Okay. Right. Well, my mom's easy, right? You know, that showed me that the faith is real.
Yeah.
But my dad, he had to work two, sometimes three jobs to feed the family. So for him to go to Mass was a personal sacrifice. And that spoke volumes to me because I realized, wow, the faith is valuable. The faith means sacrificing in order to be a Catholic. And I think parents sometimes are discouraged. For example, I know with my kids, trying to get the kids to Mass on time can be a real big struggle. But really, that's gold, because what you're showing them is that Mass is so important that you're willing to go through all the suffering and pain getting everybody right in the car and off to Mass.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's exactly true. So take the faith beyond devotion. Make sure that they're acting out the spiritual and corporal works of mercy in some small way, at least. Mm-hmm. Invest in your faith so that the kids can see that it's meaningful to you. Keep going.
Okay. Another step would be to know the Bible, at least certain crucial things about the Bible that you can pass on to your kids. You don't have to be a Bible scholar, but you should know how the Bible was put together, why Catholic tradition is important for correctly interpreting the Bible. And especially with the new atheism, you need to know some simple answers to hot-button topics like creation and so on.
Yeah. Do you... I mean, there's been a lot of materials that are available now to help people know Scripture. There wasn't that many popular tools available 25 years ago by Catholic publishers on knowing the Bible. But now we've got the Great Adventure Bible Series that Jeff Cavins does. We've got Catholic Bible Study Series, right, Scripture Study Series, being done by a variety of different groups that we've discussed here. Know the Bible series. So these tools are out there. Something I've noticed, though, is that they don't necessarily integrated into parish life. A lot of the people who are doing these Bible studies do them not because they're members of a parish, but they learn about them outside the parish and then maybe bring them into the parish to do them.
Right.
So there are Catholic parents who, even if they're not getting it in the parish, are going out beyond the parish boundaries, right, to find these tools.
Yeah, and even if you don't have time or the expertise or you don't have the desire, another thing I recommend in the book is to have an apologetic bookshelf.
And very good.
Have books that do answer those questions, or CDs or DVDs on Scripture. And the funny thing is, the kid doesn't even have to look at them. You know, they don't have to read them. But they do know that there are resources that mom and dad have that if I do have questions, I can go over there and take a book off the bookshelf. And if they're too ashamed, they can maybe secretly take a book off the bookshelf and look things up.
Anonymity is sometimes a good good means of spiritual growth.
That's right.
You mentioned your own experience, both your mom and dad's commitment to Mass. Clearly, this was something important to them. Tell us about any experience you had where you might have considered leaving the Catholic faith or wondering about your commitment?
There was a couple of times where I was approached by non-Catholics, usually fundamentalist Baptists, because that would be around the early 80s when that was popular. And the funny thing is, I was much more into philosophy than religion, so I tried to handle it on a philosophical level, pointing out fallacies.
Yeah,
but I don't think I've ever, nothing ever really compelled me to move in that area.
Yeah, so, okay, so you never felt any, you were always pretty firm.
Yeah,
in the faith.
So.
That's interesting. What were you? Were you reading anything at the time, or was it simply the example and the security of your parents as models?
Yeah, it was definitely that. And parents should take comfort too in that bringing their kids to weekly mass does have an impact.
It does.
It's radiation treatment. Irradiated with the presence of Christ. And I knew in my heart that there was something unique about the church, something I loved. The thing was, I didn't really think it was intellectually based. I just thought it was a kind of mystical religious experience. And it wasn't until I got involved in apologetics that I realized, wow, there is really substantial reasons for what we believe. But, you know, that heart knowledge was always there. And I find that even when people leave the church, there is that deeper longing that something's missing, mm-hmm. something's different.
I think in my case, I would argue something similar about it. I was never anti-Catholic. Even when I left, I always had respect for the church. I never thought I disagreed with certain doctrines or dogmas, but I didn't. I always assumed it was a Christian church. I never thought it was heretical. At least I don't remember ever thinking that. And I think partially because I did have certain encounters as a kid, very inarticulate, and I did not do a lot of thinking on these things. But I remember my first confession, and there was a true sense of transcendental joy after the words of absolution were spoken. And I remember it to this day. I mean, that's how strong it was. And I can remember oftentimes in the quiet of the church. At that time, churches were still open during the day. You could go in there and sit before the, or kneel before the Blessed Sacrament. And I can remember having this inchoate sense that I wasn't alone when I was there. There was a sense of presence. Now, it's very subjective. You want to pick it apart, fine. Right. But the point is, I remember that. And I think that's one of the reasons that it never occurred to me to want to destroy where I'd come from.
Yeah.
I thought it helped. And I think without, even though I regret that we didn't have more free conversation about the faith when I was growing up, without that rudimentary attendance at Mass and the sacraments, I think my life would have been impoverished, and I'm not sure I would have survived those teen years.
Yeah, yeah, that's very powerful.
Yeah.
And you could hear testimonies about atheistic Jews or just non-believers who happen to walk into a Catholic church because it's cool and it's hot outside. And yet they had this sense that there's something different about this space that's not, you know, that you don't find anywhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Which makes me think of President Trump visiting St. Peter's and what he must have thought. So, but we'll leave that for the president to say sometime in the future. Do you think that pressures to leave the church are stronger today than they were when you were growing up?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so.
The culture is much more corrosive to the faith than ever before. And I know just with my kids trying to keep an eye on what kind of things are coming into our house, it's so easy to little MP3 players or internet or something, they can get in touch with some bad elements. So, and just the overall culture, I think, has turned dramatically since the last 10, 20 years.
Yeah, I think it's definitely gotten worse. I wouldn't have said that. There was a period of time where Christians had developed a strong subculture They had programs, they had Bible courses that pushed back. And I thought through the 80s into the 90s, up to right around the turn of the millennium, that we might be actually making some progress. But the last 10, 15 years, it's been, I think, much more difficult. We'll come back with Gary Mishuda, How to Wolf-Proof Your Kids.
Hi, I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews. When I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
My dad, sharp as a tack, but getting him out for a dentist trip got harder every year. When he moved to the senior residence where he lives now, Dr. Mansour's portable dental service was a godsend. Dr. Mansour comes to wherever the homebound patient may be, whether in a nursing facility or the comfort of home. All the services you'd expect in a dentist office brought straight to the patient's door. Call 586-873-5567. That's 586-873-5567 or portabledentalservices.com.
Crescent in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. Six different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
This is Lewis Brown, director of CMF Curo, a Catholic healthcare ministry that provides an affordable Catholic healthcare option nationwide. We have come to a unique time in our history. Healthcare costs are rising, and our religious freedom is being challenged. CMF Curo empowers you to live the new evangelization in your healthcare. Visit our website for more information about CMF Curo. Go to cmfcuro.com. That's cmfcuro.com. Christian caring, Christian sharing.
Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
We need strong faith these days. Our gospel today tells two stories of strong faith. A ruler knelt before Jesus saying, "My daughter has just died. Come and lay your hand on her, she'll live." What faith he had. Ask God for faith like that. And Jesus followed him with his disciples and the crowd. And on their way, a very sick woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, saying to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I shall be made well." She too had strong faith, and Jesus knew it. He turned round and, seeing her, said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." Instantly, she was made well. So far, so good. But how's your faith? Could we call it strong? When Jesus came to the ruler's house, Jesus saw the mourners there and said, "Go away, she's not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put out, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And I want you to notice the strong faith of these two people. Ask God to give you a strong faith like that. Ask him for it right now. "Oh Lord, help me to believe in you more and more strongly. A strong faith is key to a rich Catholic life. Give me, I pray, O Lord, a strong faith in you. Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Help me to believe in you more strongly." I'm Father Pat Egan, chaplain to Ave Maria Radio, commenting on the readings read today at Mass. You can reach me with your reaction on 734-930-3257. And remember, inspired by the Word of God, you can be more fully alive.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta with Gary Mishuda, Catholic apologist and author of How to Wolf-Proof Your Kids. You hear Gary frequently on Catholic radio. He's the creator of Hands-On Apologetics, a website. So you're raising children now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's your oldest?
My oldest is 20.
Wow.
It flies.
Can you imagine that? Yeah. Wow. That doesn't... I have to rearrange my thinking on this. Because I moved here 20 years ago.
Right.
And I didn't remember that you had... I guess you and I have known each other for, what, 25 years by now.
Yeah.
So, do you find it been more difficult as the kids come along?
Ooh, good question. I think so in some ways. I think they have a good foundation, but I also know that teenagers will be teenagers.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to go out and see whether what mom and dad says is true. That's a really good question. In some ways, it was a little harder when they're younger, just because there's video games and all sorts of social media that I don't think we were prepared for as well as we should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And we only caught that after the fact.
Yeah.
The culture certainly has become worse.
Yeah, it's definitely more toxic.
The environment, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. Here's a funny thing, by the way. You may not know this, but Sally and I visited a Hutterite, a brethren community of in the Hutterite tradition, I believe, years ago. And it was a commune situation. These go back to the Anabaptist Reformation period. And I asked about their kids. They don't baptize their children until after high school.
Hmm.
And what they do is they send their kids to secular high school, right?
Hmm.
And after they're done, they ask them if they would then want to join the community.
Hmm.
And if they decide they want to join the community, they'll baptize them.
Right.
Otherwise, they're off on their own. So I said, how's it go? I mean, what's the percentage? And the fellow was very candid about it. He says, "Oh, we lose about half."
Right.
That's wild. To think about that.
It
kind
is.
Of resign yourself to losing half your kids.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's kind of a pessimistic outlook.
It is.
Which probably explains why there's not a lot of Hutterite communities in here.
That may be. Yeah. I couldn't imagine kind of resigning myself to that.
Yeah.
But what should people do when children have left? How do you win children back?
That's a bit difficult, more difficult, I think, than wolf-proofing.
Yeah.
One thing you need to do is diagnose the problem. That's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't run in and start preaching to them, because that could just push your loved one further from the church. You need to diagnose what were the reasons why they left. Were there some sort of obstacles involved? It could be that they're just apathetic or indifferent,
mm-hmm.
and that's one category that you need to treat a certain way. Or maybe they had intellectual obstacles, maybe misunderstandings about doctrine. They could have moral obstacles, that there is just a favorite sin that they'd rather join a group that doesn't look frown upon it, or... could be historical obstacle. Maybe the priest tripped them when they were an altar boy or something like that.
Sure.
Some personal hurt.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you start arguing about personal hurt, that does nothing.
No.
So you have to pray and discern. And then once you do that, then you need to make a plan of action. How can you start restarting this conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Because chances are, if they've left and they've left for a while, there probably isn't very good communication on religious topics.
Right.
And at that point, I recommend reading or listening to some good Catholic material and just sharing it with them, asking for their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good non-confrontational way to do it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, after they listen to it, find out what they think. And listen when they start talking, because they'll give you clues as to where those obstacles lie. And then you can kind of focus on clues like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It really becomes almost down to the individual to make your plan of attack.
The reasons do vary.
Yes.
Some people are spiritually committed, but they just don't think they can find it in the Catholic Church. Others are indifferent, apathetic, as you say.
Right.
Others of them are hurt. They've been bruised. Distinguishing the reason for leaving, I think, is the very first thing you have to do. Given that we've got such a crisis here of former Catholics, the second largest religious demographic out there, have you seen parishes setting up programs to help us win these sheep back?
Not really.
No, I haven't either.
No. In fact, my parish, St. Michael's in Livonia, we just did a four-part series on calling them back home.
Yeah, good.
Which is based on the Wolfproof book.
Oh, that's nice.
And it was very well attended. And what we hope to do is maybe do the program again and then maybe have a little St. Monica group that meets once a month as a support group for parents, so that they can come back with feedback and give advice and also know that they're not alone in this.
Yeah, that'd be something to do full time.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. There is definitely a need.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, virtually every parish needs something like that.
Absolutely. Because, like you said, the largest demographic out there is former Catholics.
Yeah.
And like I said, it really does come down to person-to-person individual makeup. I can't possibly give one person advice that will work for another. If someone has a personal hurt, I can't tell them a defense from the papacy.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember a conversation with a family member a few years ago now. I had heard that this person was contemplating divorce. And so I challenged him and I said, hey, before you take action like that, you know, you were raised Catholic. Maybe it's time for you to think about what the will of God might be. And the person basically jumped down my throat saying, where do you find the will? Who knows what the will of God is? You know, mm-hmm. Saying, well, you can take a look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You can take a look at Scripture. I mean, there are ways of knowing what God wills. And he just turned it on against the church. Those perverts, I wouldn't go meet with them, you know. This is a person that's really ill-disposed towards the church. This was beyond reason.
Yes.
We have to be prepared for that kind of thing. It happens. People do grow that way,
right.
Especially if they've been away for a long time and have built up almost a mythology about what's wrong with the Catholic Church.
Right. And that would be my clue that maybe the problem is probably something in the history.
Right.
That they're hurt. It's more of an emotional problem than intellectual.
Yeah. I mean, what am I going to do? Argue for papacy with this guy?
Yeah, right.
What's he going to say? So what?
You could, but yeah, it won't be effective, right? Yeah. And that's why diagnosis is so important. You need to kind of do a lot of listening and see, okay, are the reasons coherent? Is there some sort of, obviously that person believes in God, so that's a foundation. It seems like he believes that the will of God's important. And then, you sow seeds by asking questions about, well, you know, how do I know what the will of God is? Where should I go? Well, you go to catechism and so on.
You know, it occurs to me, the rebirth of apologetics over the last generation has been welcome. Unbelievably a blessing, there's no doubt about it. When I was thinking of returning to the Catholic Church back in the very early 1980s, there were no materials like we've got today.
Yeah, absolutely.
They weren't there. I even tried to write an article on an evangelical's view of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I tried to find, good arguments that Catholics would present. Because I was open to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't. I found lots of devotional material, and I found some high-minded theological material, which went beyond where I wanted to go with it. But I didn't find any good popular apologetics. None. And today, you can find them everywhere. Part of it, of course, is the Internet, so we have better access. But publishing
We just have more great stuff that's been published since.
And more publishers.
And more publishers, that's right. And one area of this nexus between apologetics and evangelization that I don't know anybody who's, quote, specializing in it, and it's this field of reclamation, winning back those Catholics who have departed. It seems to me that actually that's an area of specialization that somebody could take up and make it their full-time ministry and work. I think need is there, and I think parishes need somebody to visit them and help encourage these kind of groups, these St. Monica groups that you talk about.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. So.
Yeah, that's some of the priests I've talked to, that's their feeling as well. They get a lot of people approaching them, asking questions, Father, what should I do? And they don't have the time or expertise to help every single individual.
That's right.
So, I think you hit the nail on the head. There definitely is a need.
Now, if people want to follow up with you on something like this, are you available to speak in churches and on this topic?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. How do people get a hold of you?
Well, they can visit my website at handsonapologetics.com or also GaryMachuta.com.
Okay. GaryMachuta.com. That's MICHUTA. GaryMachuta.com or handsonapologetics.com. You working on any new big apologetics books?
Yes. This will be a scoop for you.
Okay.
Catholic Answers Acquired Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger, and right now I'm working on a new edition of it.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm glad. They've been publishing some great stuff over there. I talked earlier today with Trent Horn. And I take a look at the books that they've been publishing that Trent has done, and they're excellent. So, and your book on why Catholic Bibles are bigger certainly deserve that kind of distribution that you'll get with Catholic Answers. So glad to hear it. Do you have any other large projects? You're going to edit this, prepare this book for a new edition. Any other big projects that you're working on?
No, I've been keeping busy doing talks and also this editing. It's going to be an even bigger Why Catholic Bibles.
You are. You're going to write more, not less.
Well, there's new material, and I also take, condensing it, and so hopefully it'll be more readable.
Yeah. Well, listen, let me thank you for joining me again, Gary. And, again, the book is called How to Wolfproof Your Kids. It's a practical guide for keeping your kids Catholic. Gary Machuta. And you can contact him at GaryMachuta.com or go to HandsOnApologetics.com. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Al Cresta. Be back in just a moment.
For one night only on Saturday, September 23rd, Detroit is rolling out the red carpet for the Sistine Chapel Choir, the Pope's very own choir, and you can be part of this sold-out concert. Subscribe or renew to the Michigan Catholic newspaper, and you'll automatically be entered to win one of four pair of tickets or an autographed CD of the choir. The Sistine Chapel Choir is returning to the U.S. for the first time in 30 years. And for the first time in the esteemed choir's history, they will be performing at the Detroit Opera House. This could be a once-in-a-generation chance to see the Pope's personal choir. So enter today by visiting the michigancatholic.org/choircontest or by calling 313-224-8002. The Michigan Catholic Newspaper, your guide to living your faith.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Must be legal resident of Michigan, 18 years of age or older. Sweepstakes ends 8/28/17. See official rules at www.themichigancatholic.org for details.
Severe drought is creating a crisis of malnutrition for more than 20 million people in Africa.
Join Cross Catholic Outreach and help feed these suffering children and families. Your support will equip African priests, nuns, and Catholic ministries with the life-saving resources they need to serve the poor. Get more information at 866-765-4280, 866-765-4280, or visit crosscatholic.org/AfricaFamine.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you save money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Choice Insurance Agency, an auto owner's insurance company, will do just that. Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Do follow up on our conversations by going to AveMariaRadio.net. Gary's the author of several books, outstanding books in the field of apologetics, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger. He's a frequent guest on Catholic Radio and the creator of a hands-on apologetics website. You can follow him at Gary Michuta, michuta.com. Gary's book, How to Wolfproof Your Kids, is available at AveMariaRadio.net. Also, check out the EW10 Religious Catalog. Many of the books that we discuss on this program are also available there, the EW10 Religious Catalog. And when you go to AveMariaRadio.net, to the Cresta Guest Archives, we also have articles posted there that form the backdrop for some of our conversations. Follow up again, AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for being with me, and we'll be back for more of Cresta in the Afternoon.
Cresta in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. The executive producer is Nick Tom. To follow up on any of the guests or information presented on today's program, visit the Cresta Guest Archive at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMaria Radio.net. To listen to this or any other edition of Cresta in the Afternoon, visit the audio archives at AveMariaRadio.net. Or to order a CD of the program, call 734-930-4506 or email orders at AveMariaRadio.net. That's 734-930-4506 or orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you missed a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part by a contribution made to celebrate the 50th birthday of Brian Hayes. We thank God for him being a wonderful husband and father. We love you, Jeanette, Ethan, Daniel, Lily, Joel, and Cecilia.
I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Food for the Journey, Sister Anne Shields.
The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. How many times do we say that? Unexpected death, unexpected serious illness, relationships broken, people fired from their work.